Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
What we're getting is celebrity pop and gossip, and what we're losing is really meaningful dialogue on the core issues that are impacting our lives every day.
We talk about saving the news with Josh Stearns, program manager at Free Press, freepress.net.
It's called the American Graduation Initiative.
And the president announces the American Graduation Initiative for the nation's community colleges. But could it be used to promote careers in independent journalism? Josh Stearns sees a potential for using it to support their model at Free Press for saving America's news media. Founded in 2002, Free Press has set the bar for activism about media ownership and media reform. They have challenged corporate lobbyists who would bend the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, to their will. And they have worked against limitations on internet access by a news industry that has been flailing around on the internet, seeking ever greater profits that have been lost elsewhere. Free Press staff like Josh Stearns have worked for media justice, and they hope to broaden media ownership while limiting the giant monopolies that have failed to provide a news resource to serve the needs of a working democracy. Joining us now is Josh Stearns of Free Press. Josh Stearns, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners can now go to savethenews.org for more from Free Press. On their latest initiative, Josh Stearns, why don't you explain what this is all about?
Free Press has for about 6 years been working on reshaping the American media through public citizen involvement. So we work to get people across the country involved in the media policies that are being made in Washington, D.C. that shape everything we see, read, and hear, from media consolidation to the future of the internet, and now specifically looking at the future of American journalism and how our communities can get the news and information they need to participate in our democracy. So we've just launched SaveTheNews.org, and it's a really interesting project that aims to investigate and advocate for public policies to help support new independent voices and reinvigorate the American journalist system.
Now, you're actually talking about involving the federal government in America's news media. Talk about how that would work.
I mean, interestingly, the federal government and public policy have always been part of our media system and shaping our media system. One of the first laws that shaped our media system was when the Postal Service was established. They had public subsidies to allow for free distribution of newspapers through the Postal Service because our founding fathers understood that news and information was of such a value and such a core part of active democracy. So now, fast-forwarding ahead, too often the public policies that have been made in D.C. have been made not in the public interest, but in corporate interest, in the interest of small special interests, or a large special interest if you look at the U.S. media system, but not in our interest. And so that's where we want to step in and say there's important public policy changes, undoing some of the bad policies of the past and thinking about new policies that can help serve real people in their communities in terms of getting the news and information they need. And that can take a lot of different forms, everything from direct public subsidies, reinvigorating a public media system that really is public and serves the public, to looking at a journalist jobs program, all the way down to changing arcane tax laws that could really have a big impact in who gets to participate in the journalist system and who has a voice in the media.
Now, in a recent Free Press news release, you mentioned a recent meeting at the Aspen Institute, where folks like Walter Isaacson, the famous journalist, discussed how they would revive the news media. Can you talk about the conclusions you drew and what fault you would find with their model?
One of the things that we've been seeing is that the crisis in American journalism, the fact that 20,000 journalists have been laid off in the last year and a half, the fact that newspapers are crumbling and that all other forms of media are really struggling to figure out what's their role in this new digital age, is we've seen an incredible amount of innovation and exciting new experimentation within journalism. But one of the things we're also seeing is people falling back on old patterns. So we're seeing the biggest media companies going to Congress and going elsewhere and saying, we need more relaxation of regulation so that we can combine and consolidate even further. We need relaxation of antitrust laws so we can collude and work together. And then we're seeing a lot of publishers saying we need to be able to basically cut off the public from our content and put up paywalls and other pay schemes so that we can make as much money as possible off of our content. Now, we believe fully that journalists should be getting paid for the work they're doing and that we must value innovative and investigative journalism. But if we are going to put up paywalls and make incredibly complicated schemes for people to try to wring every nickel and dime out of people, that's not going to foster democracy. It's going to be shutting down conversation and keeping vast amounts of the population from getting access to vital news and information about their nation and their community.
So the problem really was lack of broad enough audience to suit them. If they charge for press, they're afraid people are just going to move on to other forms of news if they charge for theirs.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're seeing is that's the same problem that they're already facing, though, in terms of advertisers, because who do advertisers want to get out to? You know, if you've got major department stores and big box chains that are advertising in your newspaper, those advertisers want to reach certain eyeballs, people who have money to spend. And so you're already seeing news organizations too often catering to certain audiences so that they can get certain advertisers. What we are saying in our research that we've done and the paper we've released, as well as on our site, SaveTheNews.org, is that this advertising-based model of subsidizing the news is broken, and it's probably not going to be fixed by coming up with new ways of advertising or new ways of getting payment. And we think that there will always be people who can pay for the news, and we should find ways that journalists can get paid and supported for the news. But we also need to be looking beyond that. So we need to be looking at models of the news that aren't always putting profit first, but putting the public interest first, which might look like a low-profit model for the news. And there's some really interesting structures that could help make that a reality. We also want to look at nonprofit news and public media and community television and community radio and other forms that put the real needs of communities first, not the bottom line.
You have been working on models for saving the news for some time now. A report came out in May. Now you have this latest one. And you've been reporting on a shift in media ownership. This is something we've seen get even worse in the last few months. The Boston Globe went through an upheaval. Possibly it will go out of business even after a takeover by the New York Times. And in Connecticut, we've seen a steady decline at the Hartford Courant, which is the state's biggest newspaper, in fact. There have been a series of takeovers, the Baltimore Sun. Now we see a sharp turn to the political right, and they've joined Fox Network for some joint programming. So what about this new trend in conglomeration of all these little mergers?
We are seeing some pretty radical changes in media ownership, and a lot of this stems back from a real deregulatory phase back in the 80s and early 90s when over and over again, we saw the Federal Communications Commission allow more and more media monopolies to emerge, where you have fewer and fewer people who own a greater percentage of the airwaves and the printing presses. And most troubling, as you point out, are those places where we see either quote-unquote partnerships or formal ownership structures that allow one company to own a major broadcast outlet and a major print outlet in the same community, giving them an incredible level of control over the discourse and dialogue in that community, whether it be political issues that get ignored, social issues that get ignored, or generally just a lack of diversity of voices on the airwaves. Now, in our report, what we're talking about in terms of new ownership structures is encouraging the establishment of nonprofit and low-profit news organizations by changing some of the tax code so that news organizations could be considered like a 501c3 nonprofit organization or what's called an L3C. And an L3C is a low-profit corporation that allows a real focus on a public service mission with a commitment not to make outrageous profits. So instead of having shareholders and stakeholders who are demanding higher profits every quarter, what you get is community investment and a community that's demanding better news.
Just go over the list of things that are in your plan at Free Press for saving the news.
Well, we believe that there needs to be a national journalism strategy, first of all, because we've seen a couple of senators and people from the House of Representatives jump in and suggest different things. We've seen innovative grassroots organizations jump in and suggest different things. We've seen foundations and funders jump in and suggest different things. So what we really need to do is to make sure that we're not moving forward in a piecemeal way that leaves everything underfunded and underinvested in. What we really need to do is create a national journalism strategy And we've chosen five things that we think have a lot of potential. None of these are slam dunks, and none of these are going to solve the journalism crisis in and of itself. But we think each of these things have a lot of potential, and policymakers should look closer at them. One is new ownership structures, so that we can encourage nonprofit news organizations, community news organizations, and low-profit news organizations whose focus is on creating public good, not profit. Two, incentives for divestitures. Looking out at the field, we think that people are going to start breaking apart big media companies eventually once it becomes not so profitable, and we want to create incentives for those new media properties to go to local people, diverse people, nonprofit and low-profit people, as well as things like employee ownership and co-op models. We think there needs to be a journalism jobs program that funds training and retraining for new and veteran journalists in multimedia and digital arts to really support a new wave of investment in investigative journalism. And then we think there should be an R&D fund for journalistic innovation. We think that the same way that we invest in research on health and science, we need to be investing on experimentation in journalism as well. And so we think that that's a way that the government can invest in journalism without having any control over content. It would just be an experimentation fund. And then finally, we believe that there should be a new era of public media that really re-envisions what public media, including NPR, PBS, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and community television, community radio, and the whole realm of non-commercial media looks like in America, because we believe there's a huge future for non-commercial media in serving the news and information needs of our community.
How are the networks doing more recently? Because it seems to me we've seen a downward spiral.
I mean, one of the things I think is most troubling is the way that we've seen a real gutting of the newsroom, even on stations that are dedicated to quote-unquote 24-hour news. What we're seeing instead is celebrity gossip, sensationalism, bizarre headlines ripped from local places that don't even seem to have any bearing on the national dialogue or the key issues that are facing our nation at a given moment. They're designed entirely to wow people, to grab eyeballs, to keep you from flipping the channel. And we lose in-depth investigation. We lose really quality analysis. So we end up getting pundits and talking heads who don't really have any expertise in the issues that they're talking about, but what they do offer the network is this umbrella of protection of he said, she said journalism, where they can say, well, we presented both sides of the story, but I think you and I and your listeners know there's a lot more than two sides to most stories. So what we're losing is a real sense of civic dialogue, in addition to all of the incredible untold stories that go missing in our national dialogue as well. So what we're getting is celebrity pop and gossip, and what we're losing is really meaningful dialogue on the core issues that are impacting our lives every day.
You're listening to Talk Nation Radio. We're speaking with Josh Stearns of Free Press, freepress.net, about their latest initiative to save the news. The initiative comes in response to a virtual death of news media in America. The Associated Press reporting that 100 publications in 32 states have dropped one or more days of print coverage to save money. TV networks have popularized their content, have reduced the amount of actual news reporting down to the point where the weather has now become the main attraction for network affiliates. And NPR, National Public Radio, brought in a new CEO, Vivian Schiller, former head of online operations at the New York Times. They've been popularizing their sound by using long features and rock music to attract what they hope will be a wider audience. Finally, a loss of advertising dollars has driven major newspapers to contract with net consortiums like Yahoo for sharing ad revenues.
Today I'm announcing the most significant down payment yet on reaching the goal of having the highest college graduation rate of any nation in the world.
But could a new plan announced by the White House July 14th be used by independent-minded people who are interested in training as journalists? During his speech at Macomb Community College in Warren, Michigan, July 14th, President Barack Obama outlined a plan to commit $12 billion in community college growth.
It's called the American Graduation Initiative. It will reform and strengthen community colleges like this one, from coast to coast, so they get the resources that students and schools need. and the results workers and businesses demand.
Obama said his plan could be used by students who are looking for jobs in the growing alternative energy industry, healthcare, and technology. He mentioned companies like Cisco, which has an existing relationship with a community college. He also encouraged administrators to expand their existing online programs and build what he called an open source clearinghouse. We asked Josh Stearns if he thought Obama's new plan for community colleges could be used by people who want to use their model at Free Press for saving the news.
It does. It's a really exciting development. I think it's sort of visionary in the way that it's combining a whole bunch of different solutions to a whole bunch of different problems. And it's nice to see a holistic approach rather than just a whole bunch of individual shots in the dark. So I'm really excited about that. Again, I echo what I said earlier about once we have internet in the schools and we have amazing new tools like virtual community college classrooms, we need to also be expanding internet access out to rural and urban communities so that one, people can actually have a choice of who they get access from, and two, that access is affordable and not hampered by any internet gatekeepers who are saying where we can and can't go online. It's an important free speech issue. But I also think that one of the things we propose in our report about saving the news is that we need to be investing in a journalism jobs program. And this would be a great fit for this community college initiative that Barack Obama has just announced. We need to be funding and training a new generation of journalists who are really committed to the public and civic purposes of journalism, but also retraining for veteran journalists in multimedia and new media production so that they can reinvigorate their journalism with new digital tools that are at their fingertips. A journalism jobs program could, you know, leverage this educational program that Barack Obama has just announced, but also draw on things like our new reinvestment in AmeriCorps and National Service as well. I think there's a lot of exciting ways that we can begin to make journalism one of those careers that people aspire to and make it aspirational journalism that really feeds communities and is rooted in the educational needs of communities, because journalism is an educational need and a service as much as it is also a career.
Josh Stearns, of course, you work with a lot of students in what you do for Free Press. Is there a lot of interest out there? Because I know over the years there has been some sort of loss of confidence in America's educational effort for journalism, journalists being conditioned to sort of work in a very high profile, high profit, and high stress environment, but they're not getting the kind of training in the news that they once got.
Yeah, it's amazing that I've seen still an incredible commitment amongst young people to the ideals of good quality community-based investigative journalism. But what I'm seeing is that not all those people who have those ideals are going into journalism schools. So what we're seeing is people who care deeply about empowering communities to have a voice and inspiring community debate and getting communities the news and information they need. And some of these people are going into schools for computer programming so that they can access the incredible amounts of data that are available and help local communities access that data. We're seeing people going into community development when what they're really interested in journalism, because they see it as a way to put those ideals of journalism into action in a way that they see is really productive. We see people going into various forms of nonprofit advocacy. So we see all these different ways that people are motivated by this deep concern for getting communities the information they need, but it's being articulated in lots of different ways. And we really want to see people also doing all those things, but also going into journalism. And it's so interesting to me when I talk to current journalism students who are thrilled and excited and passionate about these issues, but really concerned about what they're learning in journalism school and how it's not meeting what they see as the future of their career, the future of this art. So what we hope is that we can, through public policy and through really finding creative strategies, bring new forms, new tools of journalism to students as well, so that students can advocate for their future in terms of the future of journalism, but also imagine careers that aren't just in mainstream media, but are in a robust public media system and a robust community media system.
What are your thoughts on the possibility that there's a real downside to involving the federal government in the media even more than it has been over the past years?
I am just as concerned as many people are about a government program or a series of policies that would somehow control content or say what can and can't go into a certain media outlet or news report. I don't want to promote anything that's going to threaten freedom of speech, but I do believe that there's a lot of exciting policies out there and ways for the government to be involved that could not close down freedom of speech, but actually expand it. And if a government policy is designed to expand freedom of speech and to give more people access to the airwaves and to the printing presses and to the web, then to me, that is a thrilling development and will really reshape the way that journalism is done in America. So I think we need to protect the First Amendment, produce quality coverage, provide adversarial perspectives, promote public accountability so the public can really be involved, and prioritize innovation. I think there's a ton of experimentation left to do to figure out what the next form of journalism looks like, and chances are it'll be a whole bunch of things, not just one thing.
Just a look now at NPR, National Public Radio. One of our previous guests, Francis A. Boyle, the international law expert, expressed disappointment with NPR, calling them national propaganda radio. Their coverage of the Middle East, especially of Iran, you know, post-election Iran demonstrations, has been pretty much along the, you know, White House lines or Pentagon lines even.
I haven't studied their coverage of Iran closely to speak specifically to that issue, but in general, what we see in our overarching media system is levels of nuance and qualities of coverage that range across issues. So the mainstream media, you expect a certain kind of coverage of certain issues. National public media, you have a certain other set of expectations that we've kind of been conditioned to see, like, over and over again, this is the kind of way that they cover stories. This is the narrative that they put forward. These are the sources that they draw on. Every outlet from community radio on up to mainstream media has quote-unquote trusted sources or people that they turn to. And then I think that community media and public media, in terms of real local community media, TV and radio and print media, have a different sort of way that they cover things, with oftentimes a lot more nuance, oftentimes bringing in a lot of different perspectives and viewpoints. And one of the things that I think is most exciting about local community media is the way that they draw on local expertise and bring the story back home. So whether it's a national story about healthcare, an international story about Iran and elections, local community media makers tend to draw on local resources. They bring local voices to the table, and as such, are constantly bringing that important national and international news, but through a local perspective. And that's one of the things that's absolutely missing in so many other outlets out there.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Josh Stearns, because what I've noticed is that the call-in shows have better representative dialogue going on about Iran or any of the other news of the day. And that's in part because they have people calling in and prompting their guests to broaden their, you know, their range of topics, you know. And that does bring it a little more close to the community radio realm.
Now, well, and that to me is a really important piece. And I want to sort of expand on that to say that one of the things I would suggest all of your listeners do is to be not just listeners, but also participants. And not only in this radio station, but in the mainstream media and, you know, National Public Radio and other outlets, to be participants, to be creators, and to engage those media outlets, not only through call-in shows, but also through being aware of the public policies that have a profound impact on who gets to have access to the airwaves. You asked me earlier, how could people hold, especially mainstream media, accountable? And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that every broadcast outlet, radio and television, has a public file that they have to keep that chronicles, there's a whole bunch of information they have to keep in there in terms of their coverage and how they're serving localism and that sort of thing, but also any listener comments go into this public file, and it has to be available to anybody. So you can inspect that public file and actually report back to the FCC what you found there, the Federal Communications Commission, so that you can report in local media what you found there, so that you can really show, hey, this person's had 1,000 negative comments on their coverage about elections, or this station, X, Y, and Z. So I really encourage people to take an active role in the media that surrounds them right outside their backyard, because there are profound ways to have an impact.
When people think about community radio, I think they always gravitate toward the struggle of media to be heard. Would you say we've made progress in that realm? And if so, is there any way that community radio or the new trend in media on the internet and beyond can supplant the corporate media, news industry at least, because it's just doing such a bad job. I mean, some might even say it's non-existent at this point.
Well, I think if you look at statistics in terms of where people are going for their news, and news and information, I would expand that to say, and people are redefining the news information landscape. And as that happens, I think over the next couple years, there's a real opportunity for new sources of information to take really prominent roles. As people are sort of, instead of going to 1 6 o'clock newscast on their local Fox affiliate or NBC affiliate to find out what's happening in the world, they're going to 15 different websites. And as that happens, and as Google points people to different sources of news and information instead of just their local television broadcaster, there is an opportunity for local broadcasters, community television, bloggers, local journalists, and others to really take an incredible part of that audience away from the mainstream media. I say that, and I'm very hopeful of that, but there's two real challenges there that we have to be upfront about. One is that the mainstream media still has a profound control even over the online sources of news we go to. Last statistic I saw said something like, of the top 10 websites that people go to, 7 of them are controlled by mainstream media sources, whether it be Fox owning MySpace or other more direct examples, people going to CNN.com or to TimeMagazine.com or stuff like that. So we need to be aware of that, because even as people move online, there's still an incredible echo chamber from the mainstream media. The second piece we need to be aware of is roughly 40% of America does not have access to high-speed internet. So as these trends are changing and as we think about the revolutionary nature of the internet to diversify news and information, we need to also be working constantly to make sure that we are connecting more people to the internet and that they have access to affordable high-speed internet.
You know, we see these news reports or we see these topics go viral at times on the internet. And so I guess the challenge is, how do you make news and reporting from the alternatives, from community media or from Democracy Now! And some of the other Pacifica programming that's out there, including our program, Talk Nation Radio, how do we get the topics under discussion within our community to go viral? And then how do we get people to take them from the internet to their communities?
Well, one of the things that I think is most exciting about the way that news and information is changing is that people are feeling more empowered to be participants in the media, you know? So at first it was, oh, you know, I can go comment on a blog and leave my 2 cents after the article. But more and more now, people are using articles and news and revelations that are happening on radio and other places to spark community dialogue, to hold meetings, to bring people together to discuss an issue and how it relates to their community. So something that started as a news piece about one community can jump over to another community and launch a community discussion there. I think what we're seeing now is people, instead of being passive consumers of the news, they're seeing themselves as participants and using the news to empower them to make change. I think this is really in its infancy, but as the web and other things become more networked and more connected and people feel more empowered as participants, we'll see them doing that. And I think that's going to be really key to seeing independent journalism spread like wildfire.
Josh Stearns, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm so glad I could be here. Thanks so much.
Josh Stearns, working nationally at Free Press, freepress.net, and now SaveTheNews.org, as a program manager who reaches out to students and the general public to offer information about the group's ongoing media reform efforts. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. This program is produced in our new Talk Nation Radio studios in Storrs, Connecticut. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions. You can write to us at talknationradio@gmail.com. Our music is by Fritz Heed, fritzheed.com.